everyone. My name's Larry. I'm an addict and an alcoholic. Thank God we have some structure here get up and talk. So I'm supposed to talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it was like, what it is like today. Today it's just amazing. It's just amazing, and to see you young people in here, makes me want to tear up with joy, actually, when I was sitting there, because it's an incredible life today. And I'm 47, and I'm a little over 4 years sober, and I was thinking about, I really enjoy the growth in sobriety and how my life is changing. And what I did was I quite often look forward to a couple more years of sobriety because I can see the changes in my spiritual growth and the way I deal with life and the changes I make in my life and all the improvements and the ability to live life and be happy and to give and receive love and all these wonderful things that happen in my life. And on the way here today, I'm going to die at 65, so when I die, I'm going to only have 20 years sobriety. And I thought, well, on the way, that's cool, because I don't see myself ever going back to drinking or drugging again. Using this program, and I do my meditations twice a day, and I work my program. I take it very seriously, and with these things in hand, and what I do is I usually go to two meetings a week, and things getting really rough, and I go to three a week, and I talk to my sponsor. So I have a structure that I follow every day, and with that, I can't see myself ever going back to drinking. So I just assume that I'm going to be sober till the end, with these great gifts that I have here on my hand. And on the way here today, I was thinking, well, I don't want to advance too much, because here I'm looking at, I got this crazy thinking, but here I'm looking at this, once I'm 6 years sober, yeah, I'm going to be able to deal with life even better, but then I'm going to be closer to the end. Once I hit 20, bang, I'm out. This is my theory. It's like, whoa, And today was a really great day. It was beautiful. I had a really, really nice morning with a friend, and I had a really nice afternoon with someone else, and followed by a nice evening. I love to hear myself speak, so here I am, and off to work I go. So what happened with me was I felt very different than everybody else, and I think I would have to say it has to do with being so self-centered that I couldn't see the people around me. I didn't even know my father was an alcoholic until I left home, and he told me I didn't even know he was an alcoholic. He was busy hiding and I was busy hiding, and I think it all has to do with being so self-centered that I couldn't see anything around me but myself, so I couldn't even relate to the people that suffered around me, other people were shy, that other people had, just like we read there, the struggles. It was the prayer in the 11 meeting, different struggles, I didn't see any of that. All I saw was Larry shy, Larry doesn't fit in, Larry this and Larry that, and I felt totally different than other people, and ashamed and a very low self-esteem, and that inability to look out and see the things around me kept me there, and it was a nightmare. I mean, it was just a nightmare going to school. Every interaction with other people, it was a horrible, horrible feeling, And I tried different things, I tried getting into I did get into a bad gang. I got expelled from elementary school, and ripping sinks off the toilet walls and so on and so forth. Just take broken beer bottles and stick them under the tires of the teacher, and they'd roll over, and they knew it was us, and it was about three of us. But what happened was I joined a group of people, and because I joined that group of people, I felt the loneliness went away. Being, you know, today, you know, it's a nicer word than a jerk, but being that little tough guy that I was with my friends, that somehow gave me a very fake, but substantial enough to make me feel like I'm worthy of something. And went to school, that's what I did. I would put on all these weird different clothes. I mean, back there, you know, we were flower power and so on and so forth, and we weren't supposed to be wearing that stuff to school, so I'd wear it to school anyway. So I'd hide my beads and my jewelry and, you know, in my pockets and go on, and poof, there I was, you know. I have pictures of it, and I look back and it's like, oh my God, it's just ridiculous, you know, because I figured a turtleneck with a this and that and this, and it was just crazy. But I thought I looked cool, and just like what alcohol did later, it made me feel better, you know. And so I went on like that, and I didn't need any drugs. I had some encounters with alcohol, and that was nice. It was nice. And then I hit high school, and what happened in high school was, it was a giant high school. Oh yeah, what was important is that when I was in elementary school, when I hit the top of elementary school, we were the big kids, okay? So I felt safe. I could look down on everybody, you know, in a very, I mean, when you look at it, it's crazy, because here I am with very low self-esteem, but I somehow built this self-esteem by being in this gang and looking down at people. And all of a sudden, I was put in this giant school. So what they did was, they didn't know what to do with me, because I wasn't paying attention to anything, and I was just breaking everything. So they threw us out, and they said, well, what we'll do is we'll just put you in grade 8, you know. So I arrived in grade 8, and I was in this giant school, and everyone was bigger than me, you know. And it was huge, and I was just like, whoa, you know. That gang was gone, and again, I went right back to feeling totally alone and low self-esteem and just totally obsessed with my own bad feelings, you know. And I met drugs for the first time, and I immediately started taking drugs every day, and poof, I just was gone. I was just gone. And that went on for a long time, and I became pretty much, I wouldn't say a daily drinker, but the mixture, you know, my story, my drinking and drugging went on for 30 years, so there was a time where they both met together, and the drinking was every day, or almost every day, the drugging was every day. I was on some substance every day, and it started in the morning when I got up. You know, so, you know, it doesn't sound so weird that a 16-year-old would get up and have a drink in the morning to, you know, handle his nerves, but I'd start off with hit of acid, mescaline, marijuana, whatever it was, and, you know, drink in the afternoon and so on and so forth. And it went on and on and on. And it worked. It worked like that gang worked. It was sufficient enough for me. And, you know, today I look at it and it was all I knew, as far as, I didn't realize this till later, and later on in my life, there were some things that were missing, and that was guidance and love from my parents. I didn't know that, okay? I wasn't taught how to love myself. I wasn't taught how to love other people. And they were gone, and it was like, today I still look at things, and it's like, well, how come they never noticed that? And it's like, and it's, you know, my father was an alcoholic, and he has a sickness, and I got a sickness, you know? But in reality, the bottom line was he wasn't there. His presence wasn't there. And my mother was a manic depressant, which I found out later on, and extremely ill, and in and out of the hospital. So it was pretty much a free-for-all at home, and I thought it was a normal family structure. I didn't notice it. So there was no taking care of Larry. There was no spiritual growth. There was no real self-esteem building. There was no guidance. I mean, I've got school records here where In one class, I'm there for 17, I'm missing 17 days in the semester, and the other one 58, and the other one 2, and they fail, fail, fail. My parents never said a word, you know? And I didn't even notice that until I sobered up. And I was like, I went back to school for something, and I need my records, and I looked at it, and I was like, how come nobody noticed, you know? And then I realized, you know, they weren't there. In that sense, I mean, you know, they did their best, and God bless them. They're both passed away today, and God bless them. But that structure was missing. And so what happened, as always happens, you know, that I hear in these rooms is the drugs and the alcohol start wearing off. I mean, not the amounts, you know, because the amounts were extraordinary, you know. Drinking more, taking more drugs, but those horrible feelings that were numbed started coming back, and they came back in a really, really bad way. And I, because of my choices in life, I started having in my head a very good reason to have a low self-esteem. You know, I really did not believe that, I knew that, you know, I didn't want to go a day without drinking, and I didn't want to go a day without drugging, or one or the other, or both, but it was me. It was my decision. And every day I got up in the morning, and the first thing I wanted to do was get stoned, and then later on drunk. And so that self-esteem, I didn't realize I had an illness. I didn't realize that I couldn't stop. I knew it was me. It was me making these decisions, and a lot of bad decisions. No school, you know. Treating people in a very bad way. I mean, from everything you could possibly imagine that, you know, a person will do for drugs and alcohol, I did. You know, and you hurt a lot of people. And there's a time in my life when my feelings are coming back, and I'm conscious of all this stuff. And I tried quitting, and I couldn't. And I said, "Okay, I'll try this, and I'll try that, and I'll try instead of having 4 rum and cokes. I work in a bar; I have one on every corner, doubles. I'll try beer bottles. I'll try this. I'll try that. I'll try, you know, smoking coke instead of this with the coke, and all these different angles." And I always ended up being stoned and drunk, and I felt horrible. And there came a point where I was so fed up, and I said, okay, I'm going to put myself in a treatment center. And I put myself in a treatment center, and I had a really bad addiction to, it's not easy, but I managed to get myself, my hands on a lot of cocaine. And I managed to get a physical addiction to cocaine. And I put myself into detox in the Montreal General, 21 days. Quit my job. Got myself on welfare because that's what they needed for me to have to get into the treatment center. And set all that up. And I went, and I'm going away now for, what was it? It was a 6-month program. It's a live-in 6-month program in Ottawa. And before my 17 days were up, sorry, before my 21 days were up in the hospital, I ran out the door to go use and drink. And I went back the next day, and I thought, oh my God, you know, I'm going to get it. And it was like, no, you're not going to get it. There's your bags. Goodbye. And I said, oh my God, you know. And I felt so horrible that I still want to quit. So what I did was I phoned up the place, and I was on a waiting list. And I finally, it was time. It was within 3 weeks. It was just a wonderful thing that happened. Within 3 weeks, they said there's an opening. And of course, I went out and I used as much as I could, drank as much as I could, got on my bus, and smoked the biggest joint that I could just before I got on the bus, took off, went to Ottawa, and I did this program. And all I could think about, and they would say, you know, if you think about using or drinking, talk to someone. And I was like, that's all I think about all day long, you know. And it's like, I don't want to talk about drugs and alcohol, you know. And what happened was, I tried really, really hard, really, really hard. I felt really horrible, and I wanted to change my life. And I got through my six-month program, and I felt absolutely wonderful. And I got out of there. Now, you know, through all the different, this is really important for me, because through all the different techniques of drinking, because I would go to the dépanneur and I'd say, okay, what I'll do is I'll buy a tin can and a medium-sized can and I'll stop there. Always run back for more. But all these different ways of trying to adjust my alcoholism so I wouldn't get drunk never worked. And so when I got out of there, I said, so I know I'm a drug addict. I know I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to my meetings. I'm working with my sponsor. We're painting houses. And it's like, I can't get this thing out of my head. Why can't I smoke marijuana? You know, it's not addictive. Why can't I? And it's like, and my sponsor's going, Larry, like, what's the big deal? I mean, it makes you stupid, you know? And, you know, you can't think straight. It makes you tired. And it's like, what is such a big deal with marijuana? Anyways, it kept picking at me and picking at me and picking at me. And after 3 months of sobriety, I went out to smoke a joint. And I never got to the joint. I went right to the cocaine and the alcohol. And I went right back to living hell for 15 more years. And what I learned in that today was that I'm the alcoholic and the drug addict. And it doesn't matter what I pick up. Today I can pick up a relationship. I can pick up fear. I can pick up eating. I can pick up controlling. I can pick up anything I want and go nuts over it. And there's no substances that I can use today, you know. And it's I have to be careful because, you know, since I've been in recovery, I've had a couple operations, and it's like, oh, you got to take morphine. It's like, ooh, it's like, whoa. And be very, very careful with it, that I monitor it as soon as I don't need that anymore, because I've had two knee operations and another operation. Off it goes, you know. And so now there's nothing left. There's no more drugs or alcohol. There's nothing out for me to try anymore. Phew, what a relief. And when I came into these rooms, it was what a terror. What an absolute terror that I'm going to leave this incredible thing and get stuck with you guys in this bunker. Okay, my bomb went off outside. Here we are on a beautiful sunny day. And it was awful. And this God thing and all this stuff, one day at a time. I was like, oh my God, if I hear that one more time. And it's like, I had nowhere else to go. And I looked at you guys and I saw people that were happy, that were sober, and that's what I wanted. And it's like, I can't do the God thing. And it's like, don't worry about it, Larry. You know? And it's like, just go to your meetings and do this, just keep coming back, and so on and so forth. And before I knew it, you know, here I am. And this is, again, reflection, because this guy's not, you know, I'm amazed at, you know, well, I'm amazed at two things, that my brain is still there working after everything I've done to it, and it amazes me how things happen and I'm unaware of it, you know. But I got down and I prayed, and I'm doing it every day, because somebody told me, if you want a spiritual experience, you get down on your knees and you pray every day, and it's on page 86, to let go of control, your ego, fear, self-obsession, self-pity, resentment, and so on and so forth. It's all there in the book. And you'll have a spiritual experience. And I wanted that spiritual experience because it was a living hell when I came into these rooms. Would take the drugs and the alcohol. All I had left was self-obsession and fear. And so here I am praying, you know. And I'm going home and saying, I don't want to do this God thing, don't work. It's okay, Larry. Keep praying. Here I am. Here I am, turning my will and my life over to my higher power. And it works. It worked, you know? I remember having it was about a minute and a half of peace. And it was like, that's it. That's my spiritual experience. And I've been seeking that ever since. And I did that. I still do that prayer every day. And today I live by it. And my sponsor, thank God for me. I'm so grateful for these rooms. I'm so grateful for my sponsor and everything that I have today in my life. And I'm so grateful for the gift of meditation. And he said, Larry, I want to meditate because I want to be like you. And I want peace. And he said, okay, well, it's the 11th step, but, you know, this is what you do. You know, you haven't done your 4-step yet, but if you want to meditate, you know, here, I'll show you how to do it. And he showed me how to meditate, and he gave me spiritual literature to read. And I've been doing that since 3 months in sobriety, twice a day. And it's been just an incredible, incredible journey. You know, they say this is a kindergarten for spirituality. And lately there's been so many changes in my life. Seemingly, from the outside, a lot of them seem really bad. Oh, I just lost my house. An end of a relationship with someone that just keeps showing up in my face at my work and trying to drive me crazy. I'm just moving into this place that is really, really strange. And all these different things happening in my life. And there's a really, really great part to it all. And I can see that life happens and great things happen to me. Some things are taken away from me that I can't let go of. And I'm having some really, really great freedoms happen. And it's like, oh, I'm losing this. And next thing you know, oh, I'm losing all the bad crap that comes with it. And I was like, whoa, freedom, joy. And I guess, you know, I'm amazed. I'm just amazed. Today, as opposed to how I walked into AA at the beginning, I spend a lot of time living life with joy and peace. And I see inside of me, you know, there's this like this little ball of self-obsession and fear, but I can see it like this big and recognize that the rest of me here is grateful, happy, at peace, feel safe. You know, I don't no longer need to, and this is what I've done for the longest time, is I can have this fantastic life, and I said, I got a little spot of fear here, and I'm going to focus on that little spot of fear until it goes away. But you know what? In my life, you know, when I'm looking at that 20 years of spiritual, you know, I got 20 years of spiritual growth. You know, of course, my life is not going to end when I'm 65, because that would be, you know, that's not my decision, but it's, you know, my thinking, you know. And as long as I'm climbing that mountain of spirituality, I'm always going to be a human with defaults, and I'm always going to be an alcoholic with self-obsession. And so there's always going to be a ball of something going on during my day. So unless I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to live with this, and I'm going to just shrink it and let go, you know. I love these. I learned French in my sobriety, and so I can go to French meetings, and half of the stuff I don't get, half of I do, and they call it voucher beads, you know, and I'm not sure what it means yet, but it sounds like let go of the plug, you know, and I'm sure that's not what it means, but it works for me. It works for me because it's like let go of the plug, because it's all about me letting go today and doing my best. You know, today, I have a friend today that is not in this program, doesn't need to be in this program, but is in great pain, and I can help this person, and he helps me. And today it's no longer this exchange, which was never before. I never would have the ability to love myself, to love other people, to help other people, to honestly help other people, and to receive their help. And in translation in my head, that's like loving other people, and accepting love, giving love unconditionally, and having a great life, you know. And I'm looking at all the things in my life today, and it's like, you know what? My sponsor told me, Larry, you created all this. It's like, whoa. It's like, you're absolutely right, I created all this. It's like, but you know, I'm 4.5 years, not 4.5, but 4 and something years sober. But there's still stuff that, you know, has to go and has to change. And there still will be for who knows how long, you know? And with all that, with all those changes, there's just so much. I've never felt. I'm trying not to cry, but I've never felt so much joy in my life. You know, I've never felt so much this thing of loving other people, and you know, to see. You know, that ball of self-obsession and fear, if I keep that thing big enough, I can't feel anything other. You know, and if I can shrink that thing up and let go of my ego, I feel and see and experience these incredible things. And human beings today, for me, are divine creatures. And to interact with them and to see someone else change and to feel change from somebody else because there's love inside them. It's just incredible. Everything's just incredible, you know. And then I've got this little, oh, this is wrong in my day. I was like, oh yeah. It's like, pooh, let it go, let it go, or grab onto it. I mean, I have my choices, you know. I can honestly grab onto my ego, anything, self-pity, fear, anything I want, and swirl off and try to control and. I know what it feels like, and I can stay there as long as I want to, or I can get out of there. And I think through, you know, when our 11th step, and a lot of people don't do it, but the 11th step is prayer and meditation. And through the meditation, it's helped me discipline my mind so much. And through the fourth step and through, you know, inventory of self to recognize where I am today, what I'm doing at this instant, and clean it up, and to let that higher power run the show and make good choices in life. I'm just so, you know, I heard it a long time ago, and it's like, oh God, it's like, gag me, you know. I'm so grateful to be an alcoholic, you know. Well, being an alcoholic brought me into these rooms and brought me to this program. And I'm really, really grateful for the way of life that I have today. And, you know, it's none of my doing. It's me learning, and it's like I got like a million gifts being thrown at me constantly, and I never took any before, and now it's like I'm taking more and more and more of them. And it's like, Larry, do you want this? And it's like, yes, I want it. And it all has to do about me picking up these gifts and opening them up and using them. And then it's just, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And I'm glad to say, you know, close off with this, that I, you know, it's great group to join, because you join it and you just leave. Oh, here come the angels. Okay, so I got to close up with just saying that I'm moving into the neighborhood and I'm really happy about it because I love this group. And I'll be showing up every Sunday because I'm going to be living about 6 blocks from now. So I'll let the angels take over, and thank you very much for listening.